Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to My Point Is. I'm Rob Wilkins, along with my guy, Cam Hawkins, a.k.a. Seahawk. It's been a kind of quiet 24 hours, 48 hours, my friend.
No idea how we're going to fill this time.
I don't know.
Yo.
Man. We're both speechless on a podcast. I don't understand it. It's right before the show started, we started talking, and it's like, well, we might just need to shut up so we can talk to other people. Guys, before we get started, send in your super chats, your humper chats, get your question or comment right on the air. That helps me and Seahawk get to do more of this. It you don't understand how much that means to us as well, because we are going to be talking about the topic at hand. I think you know that. And that is none other than that Kenta gets his move back. He gets.
Yo.
Oh, my tweet. Dude. Yeah, but man, CM Punk gone from AEW. Hard to believe that this happened in a way, but also hard not to believe either. It's one of those just wow, 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 wow. Cam, you were at a football game yesterday when you got the news.
What was your reaction? It's 108 degrees in the stadium, sweltering heat, you know, out there dying. And then you get this and like your body kind of forgets that you're out here frying, right? Everything stops. And it's like, are you serious? Like somebody texted it to me first. And so like, and it was somebody outside of wrestling, which was the interesting part. They were like, yo, like CM Punk got fired. And, you know, you look at it and, you know, I think Rob, we should probably just maybe read the press release. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I'll grab it.
Okay.
You can go ahead and talk a little bit more why I grabbed that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I got it right here. So let's go line for line, blow for blow on this, because it's a really interesting read. And you all of a sudden are getting brand new information that kind of wasn't there before. And it's kind of stuff you can't even believe, you know, like that was the biggest thing for me. It was stuff in there that was like, that happened, that's a thing. you can do a lot of things at your job, Rob. There's a lot of things that you can do. Making the boss feel unsafe is not something you can ever do. You know, it's just something that you cannot get away with. So specifically, statement from All Elite Wrestling and Tony Khan. All Elite Wrestling, AEW, has terminated the wrestler and employment agreements between Phillip Brooks, CM Punk, and AEW with cause, effective immediately. The termination was confirmed today by Tony Khan, CEO, general manager, and head of creative of AEW. The termination follows a week-long internal investigation of an incident occurring backstage at AEW All In London on Sunday, August 27th. Following the investigation, the AEW Discipline Committee met later and convened with outside legal counsel before making a unanimous recommendation to Khan that CM Punk be terminated with cause. Khan offered the following statement. Phil played an important role within AEW, and I thank him for his contributions. The termination of his AEW contracts with cause is ultimately my decision and mine alone. Of course, I wish I didn't have to share this news, which may come as a disappointment to many of our fans. Nevertheless, I am making the decision in the best interest of the many amazing people who make AEW possible every week, our talent, staff, venue operators, and many others whose efforts are unsung but essential to bringing our fans great shows on television and at arenas and stadiums throughout the world.
Well, I think the most important aspect of this is how much, okay, from a wrestler's standpoint, like how they're going to look at it, AEW-wise. And you know, you've talked to a lot of wrestlers there, you know some, and I'm really curious to see what the backstage reaction is. I mean, I've heard mixed already, because they didn't, when you look at it, there's obviously people that are on CM Punk, friends, you know, like your Brody Kings and stuff like that. I just, the money that's going to be affected, like for this company, I think they're going the right direction now. I like CM Punk. I do. Like, as an entertainer, the backstage stuff, that should have never happened, obviously. That's obvious. That should have never gone that far. I think anybody would agree with me on that. But where this goes money-wise, I'm looking at it from a business perspective. Like, everybody's talking about how WWE will have no interest. Well, it's not WWE pretty soon. It's Endeavor. Endeavor liked that pay-per-view money they got from CM Punk when he was there. They it was up. Fox Sports, to an extent, liked CM Punk when he was with them for their the TV show they had, that weekly show. I forgot the name of it, but
the WWE Backstage.
Yeah, thank you. Backstage.
Or the UFC. Yeah.
Backstage. You know, so it's one of those things. But the thing is you have to think about your other wrestlers, and you have to remember the biggest thing too is I remember it was just a big happy family. It seemed like AEW before this, before they brought in Punk, and that's sad, because I remember how excited fans were. I was when CM Punk came back. I was covering AEW Rampage that night he came back, and I remember emailing Sean. I'm like, "Yeah, there's a delay because I forgot I was covering, because I was so like mesmerized with the TV because of what was happening. I forgot what I was doing." It's just his character is just something else. That the way he brought people in is just fascinating to me. And the one thing I hope it doesn't do is I hope we don't lose many wrestling fans. Could we just hit that boom period a little bit again? And it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I want to get some more of your thoughts on this. So
there's this idea that every wrestler that you like hates CM Punk. And it's not the case. Mm-mm. There's this idea that the overwhelming majority of the locker room are glad that CM Punk's gone. Again, not the case. Like, we paint heroes and villains so often, and like we talked about last week, like I was talking about all week, like, it's a job. It's a job. People at your job who you do not like. Like, there are other people at work who get along with them just fine and don't have a problem with them. This is the way it goes. What I'm curious about is this. Let's say that you do not have a particular attachment to CM Punk or the Elite. What's to stop you from feeling like if those guys all of a sudden don't like you, they will try to do things to derail you? Now, I'm not absolving Punk of anything with this, but my point is, like, people knew how to push his buttons and did it to the point where he lost it. He's still an adult. He's still very much responsible for it. But there's definitely, like, subterfuge here. Like, there's definitely politics played here, right? And I'm not saying, like, it's some type of inherent evil and these are the worst people in the world. Again, this is a job. Things like this happen at work. But, like, I don't know. I don't know if the firing of CM Punk is supposed to be some type of huge morale booster. You know what I mean? Like, are they better off not having this particular drama? Of course, absolutely. Is this in some way going to stop people from talking to media outlets and reporters and journalists about the things that they think are wrong or right? I don't think it changes that. I think CM Punk is still very much one person. He is one person who was given a lot. You know, he was literally given his own show upon returning. It's a whole lot, and we talked about this beforehand. This is not something that's going to be over tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not going to all of a sudden be done. We are still going to hear from Punk's side. Like, for them to say, after consulting with legal counsel, this was what we felt like we should do, says a whole lot. And we are going to be hearing from both sides of this situation often over the next couple of months. And the first thing I kind of said, it sounds like, and we're going to get more details, but it sounds like Punk came after Tony Khan backstage, mm-hmm. or at least like made a very, very strong, like, physical gesture towards him in the scuffle. And it just seems like, it seems like the absolute thing that you could not do in this situation. It feels like that's the straw that kind of broke the camel's back. We've all been like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a character. Vince McMahon is a character. You know what I mean? Everybody's had the feeling, I wish I could, like, at least tell my boss exactly how I feel about them. You can't get physical with your boss under any circumstances, especially someone, again, who gave you the keys to the city, more or less. If that happened, if specifically there was an incident where he was about to come at Tony Khan to, like, attack him physically, it's indefensible. That's the thing where you're like, there's no two ways about that. If you did this, you can't work there. And I think that's pretty simple.
Yeah. Guys, get in your super chats. We do have a super chat from Thomas Gidlow. He sends us a super chat that says, this was 100% preventable. Ultimately, it is on Tony's inability to manage AEW. Should have been handled when the Bucks were feeding Meltzer backstage BS. Well, I mean, wrestler is going to feed information to Meltzer, Keller, Sapp, you name it. It's.
Yeah. Yeah. And the like, thing that, is it's not going to change. Part of the game's not going to change.
Yeah, that will never change. And that's the thing. I understand where he's coming from, like, in this instance. And there's some things that, in my opinion, should fall on Tony. Like, there's a lot of things that should have been handled. And somebody said it in chat earlier that CM Punk's biggest fan was Tony Khan, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why Tony, that's probably one of the reasons why CM Punk got to come back, because, well, obviously that's dumb of me to say. That's why CM Punk got to come back in the first place. But I did see some things that made it interesting. It came out, Nick Hausman yesterday tweeted that CM Punk and the Elite were scheduled to meet, but the meeting was canceled, like, pretty much right before it was supposed to happen. That was pretty intriguing, or interesting to find out. Then you also, and this is the one thing that it will always make wrestling rumors and news fun, is the conspiracy theories. So you add the transportation issues, like people are adding that into it, and you have Jack Perry shooting into the camera. I think it takes a lot for people to just say this was all a plan to get CM Punk to quit. That was all just done. Like, let's not go pick him up at the airport. That'll get him to quit. I don't buy that. I think the airport thing, from what I understand, that was kind of like echoed out. If these were certain times that they were picking people up.
Yeah. It sounds like it was a shuttle system. Like, yeah, we'll have somebody there, every 15, 45 minutes or whatever, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where I don't think it was a elaborate plan to get them.
It's like the movie
that.
Falling Down. Like, everything can go bad in a very short period of time.
Yes.
From circumstance. It can all fall apart really quickly. Like, you can just have a bad day sometimes, man. Like, it does not seem to be this long, elaborate plot to get him out of here. You know, it sounds like a group of people didn't rock with him, and they were comfortable telling us over and over that they don't rock with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there's really interesting things in the chat about, like, Collision being a safe space and wrestlers today are soft and stuff like that. It's like, guys, this is what's happening is no different than what was happening 30 years ago. Yeah. The difference is we are in a time where you, the person in the chat who says wrestlers today are soft, can jump on an application and complain about it anonymously. Like, it's a different world now than it is there. You know, like, the people are the same, but the level of technology and the access they have are different. So this is how things are going to work out. And wrestling is corporate now, you know, like, this is a business. This isn't some territory that a couple of rich guys in a back room run. Like, it's just a different time. It does not speak to people having different emotions or motivations. They exist in a different system. That's all. You know, but yeah, it is interesting if this becomes that type of legal issue. Like, look,
yeah,
as much as we talk about, like, oh, I fight this dude, they need to fight, and they just need to hash it out, guys, fighting is illegal. Fighting is against the law, and it's so common in our society that we think about it as a regular thing that happens between people. But you swing on the wrong person, there can be real consequences. You know what I mean? And so it's interesting when you have something like the Cash Wheeler situation, where it's a criminal case, but it's a criminal case away from the job. Something that you don't have a firsthand account of. Something he was clearly given bail on, so it's not like they felt he needed to stay there until sentencing or anything like that. So when you look at something like that, you see Tony Khan being like, yo, I need all the details of it. I don't know everything that's going on. But when this happens at the job, in front of everybody, in front of the people in charge, in front of the coworkers, it's different. Like, there is kind of a requirement to act a bit faster. And specifically Tony Khan, again, we talk about being tough guys and being soft. Like, listen, Tony Khan is a regular dude. He's a regular guy. He is not Vince McMahon, who was in the gym all day, every day, because he knew that would win him favor with the wrestlers. Tony Khan is a different dude. Tony Khan don't fight. Tony Khan don't raise his voice at people. Like, you can't get physical with somebody who don't get physical. Him saying he was scared for his safety, it sounds funny, but like, yeah, a lot of dudes don't fight. Like, we forget about that. A lot of dudes don't fight.
Okay. Yeah. So, and not to cut you off, I mean, that part, like, I was scared for my, what was the exact quote? I was scared for my life. Is that what he said?
I think was it for his safety?
His safety, maybe. Yeah. It was. Okay. I mean, I kind of roll my eyes at that, but you never know how people feel. I get that. And I wasn't there. And I know that CM Punk is loved. Like, people love CM Punk the way I love Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just the way it is. I get that. And when I had the opportunity to meet CM Punk in Chicago a few years ago at a Comic-Con, C2E2, nicest guy. I couldn't believe it. Like, we had a good 2-3 minute conversation of all things Metallica, which I would have never guessed in my life that's what we would have talked about. And I've talked to him way back when he was doing independent shows here in Minnesota, but he wouldn't remember those conversations, and I barely remember them. But the fact is I was expecting, like, big time celebrity CM Punk, and he was just his normal self.
Yeah.
And that was the same, like, when I met Bret Hart. I was wearing a Jeremy Roenick jersey because I'm a huge hockey fan too. And he told me that he was friends with Jeremy Roenick, and we talked for about 3 to 4 minutes. I got to talk to my hero, Bret Hart, for a few minutes about hockey. And it was just one of those things where, like, I get it, where people feel like this way because they see a lot of CM Punk in themselves. Like, they, and I get that. That's what sucks for so many people, like, to see him gone from this business. That's why I hope he comes back, whether it's AEW, whether it's WWE. I want him, like, WWE, I want him in the Hall of Fame eventually. He'll get there, obviously. I just, like everybody else, I wish this wouldn't have happened because he's needed in wrestling. I think everybody agrees that we wish this wouldn't have happened, by all means. I mean, you look at it from the perspective of MJF. I mean, I look at it both times where he's had the pay-per-views end where he should have been the story. That didn't happen. It was on CM Punk. CM Punk was the story. Yeah. They just had the biggest pay-per-view ever, and there was rarely, really any talk about that. And I said in a tweet, you know who's loving this? The WWE. Because nobody is talking about 81,000 people. They're talking about CM Punk. The media is not talking about 81,000 people. They're talking about CM Punk. It just wasn't covered. And if you type, like Monday night, if you typed in AEW, everything that came up was CM Punk. For the most part, like, and that was just like in a Google News search. It took away from the moment, and that sucks for the wrestlers, for the company. But I'll always want CM Punk involved in the business, and that's
with what you're saying. Like, look, you know, my man Danny Cage, trainer at the Monster Factory. You watch his show on Apple TV. One of the kids, his name's named Twitch.
Yeah.
Talks openly about, like, CM Punk's pipe bomb promo, like, saved my life. Like, I didn't want to be here anymore. And that, like, lit something inside of me that made me want to be more. You know what I mean? Like, CM Punk is a cultural figure. He's not just favorite wrestler guy. There are people who genuinely resonate with what he believes and what they feel he stands for.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. You know what I mean? And so when somebody is such, like, a firm part of the culture like that, You are losing something. Like, there's no way that Collision doesn't take a hit. There's absolutely no way. It was a show built for him to showcase him and the talents that he felt were important. And people are emotional. You know, people are emotional creatures. And so people are absolutely going to take this to heart. Take the emotion out of it. People who strictly love him as a wrestler. Biggest wrestler on show is gone. You know, like, that absolutely hurts. And I say all that to say, like, none of this is me saying CM Punk being there is more important than morale and safety. Not saying that at all, but it's absolutely going to be a large hit. Now, what I think is going to be really interesting is, you know, you have people who do exist on both sides of this thing. Don't know why. You can be fluid about this. Mm-hmm. But as the details come out, it will be really interesting to see who feels they are more right and what that does for the business of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is it going to be, wow, Punk really, really messed this up on his own and I'm all elite because of it? Is it going to be, wow, they really, really, really did CM Punk wrong. Can't wait for his next move so I can support that. Because again, now that this is a situation that's legal, it's going to be like way more details than you would get from an Observer, from a Torch, from a Fightful. Like, this is going to be like pages and pages and pages of detailed, like, detailed descriptions of exactly what got us to this point. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to follow for sure.
And we do have some super chats, so make sure you get in your super chats if you want your question or statement read on the air. We have, I read that one already. Van Twinblade says, Punk has always been the problem. Ring of Honor, WWE, now AEW. He's just a jerk. Also, every wrestler talks to reporters. Stop acting like it was only the Bucks. Every wrestler does. Well, most wrestlers do talk to reporters. I mean, I've never heard of one that didn't. You know, it's, I get it. Like, and that's the thing. It wasn't just the Young Bucks that talked to Dave Meltzer. There were people in CM Punk's camp that reached out to Dave Meltzer. So
this thing is way more fluid than you think it is. Like, I understand it's very easy to say this one side was talking about the other side and that's what made it happen. No, it's passive aggression as an institution is really like how these things happen. It does not come from one side, you know, like, there's a bunch of guys over there who are not friends outside of work. And they work together fantastically. You know what I mean? But there's a bunch of guys there who don't kick it like that outside of work. And they have outlets that they can go to get those feelings out. It's always been the case, you know? So, man, I don't know. The next couple of months, man, the next couple of months. Rob, do you think, If you had money on the line,
6 months. I would have put it on Colorado yesterday. I know that.
6 months from now, is CM Punk in a professional wrestling ring on national television?
In within how many months?
6 months.
No, not six.
Okay.
If he's allowed to, if
legally, that's really my question. When this is settled legally, how long after that, if you think CM Punk is back in a wrestling ring on national TV, would it be?
Not too long, because I think he wants to be in a ring. I think he knows that WrestleMania main event is his now, like, if he wants it. I know there's a lot of people in WWE who
CM Punk. If they push Cody aside to do Punk and Reigns, my God. I think he's finally back in shape. And what I mean is, like, I don't mean shape like run fast, jump high. I mean, I think CM Punk is finally at a point where the nagging injuries weren't affecting him anymore. Like, that match with him and Joe was probably my match of the show. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, it was great. Right?
So, like, you finally get back into real ring shape, and this happens. Like, I could imagine him wanting to jump back on it, if for no other reason than, if this is still something I want to do, I don't know if I can take another layoff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he has another year or 2 year sabbatical where he can come back and still be as effective as he was just last week.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. But the biggest thing is it really goes down, and we both agree with this. It really comes down to what Endeavor feels about it.
Yeah.
And because I know we know two. Well, I would say I think we know two guys that wouldn't want him back, but there's a lot of people in WWE who do not want him back at all. And I mean, no, he hasn't said it by any means, but if I'm pretty much convinced Cody does not want him around. We know Seth Rollins doesn't want him around.
Everything, like, no locker room is perfect.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, over there right now, it's about as harmonious as it gets. You know what I mean? Over there right now, it is about as harmonious as it gets. There are a lot of people from a talent standpoint who are very high on what they produce, are very high on what they specifically get to present from the top to the bottom of the card. There are guys who like are not on TV a whole lot who love the position that they're in. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you all of a sudden throw him into the mix.
Somebody said on Twitter the other day, it's like, man, if you think, or it was yesterday, they said, could you imagine, like, the biggest argument now backstage usually you hear from WWE is like on up, up, down, down.
And, exactly.
And now it's going to, like, if they're saying hypothetically, if something like this happens, you'll hear more and more. And the thing is all the BS aside from the backstage talk, Punk is good for wrestling. It just sucks what happened. I mean, that's it does. I mean, like I said about MJF, now Ricky Starks should have been wrestling him tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so we had another super chat here from Chi-Town Spurs. There's a certain irony in this all happening because Punk's people leaked a story that made Perry look bad when it was Phil that was so mad about it.
So, like, it is, there's a level of humor that if you had to pick, like, if you put every name in AEW on a list and you said, who's going to be the guy to ultimately be the catalyst for CM Punk being gone? There's Dylan no K-Sun. Way you're saying Jungle Jack Perry.
Dylan McKay's son did it. It's like, man, I can't believe it.
And jump fly with him backstage on some slick shit. And it was what he couldn't take. It was it. That's you can't make this up. You really, really can't.
And it was funny. I was talking to a friend that does not watch wrestling last night, and he says, dude, this must be a big deal if it's on ESPN's like front page. And I go, yeah. And I'm like, it is. And he knows I cover like I do wrestling stuff. And he goes, I remember the name. I've heard the name, and he's an actor too. And I go, yeah. He said, so what happened? And I go, the easiest way to say it is Jack Perry. And he's like, he has no idea who that is. And I just said, Dylan McKay's son. And then he's like, what? I go, yeah, Luke Perry's kid. His kid's a wrestler. I'm like, yeah. And I sent him a picture. He's like, holy crap. That's him. And he was like, it looks just like him. I'm like, absolutely. And he got him to leave the business? I'm like, well, not like that. But I explained to him what happened the best I could, the story that we know. And he goes, this sucks. He goes, you make it sound like this man has like a huge following and millions of fans. I go, he does. I mean, he does. He's beloved by so many people, and that's the thing. It's going to take a hit, I believe, too, for wrestling. It will. I just hope it doesn't take too much of a hit, because I know I've seen the chat. Some people are, like, all for it. Some are, like, ripping others because they like CM Punk. Some are ripping people because they don't like CM Punk.
It's going to reflect. It's going to reflect in the ratings. Like that's just it. Because I think this first week, I think that curiosity is really going to work in their favor, because it's like, who becomes the front man? Is it Ricky Starks? Is it Switchblade Jay White? Is it somehow Danielson, even though he has the BCC affiliation? You know what I mean? Like,
he was a face last night, man. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the second time that Bryan Danielson has had to kind of fill the void left by CM Punk for a wrestling company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really going to work for them. Danielson coming back, quicker than some folks thought from his injury, getting into a strap match with Ricky Starks all of a sudden. So something that's of a very high caliber. The outcome of that match, I think, is going to speak a lot to what we have going forward, on Collision. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, is it Rick? Is it Danielson? Is it Jay White? Does MJF now have to pull real double duty as the champion? Because we all feel like it was somehow, leading to Punk versus MJF for a unified world champion.
And to add on to that, you also have Mercedes Moné, possibly.
Yeah.
That's going to free up some money. We don't know where the Adam Copeland Edge thing's going. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe Edge is going. Jim Ross said yesterday on his latest recording that he doesn't think Edge is going. He thinks that Edge is staying put. I think if Edge is going to wrestle some more, I think he's going to AEW. I do, because I don't want him to, I shouldn't say that. When it comes to the wrestlers, I want them to do what is best for them. I've always been like that. Whatever is best for the wrestlers, what I want for them. That's the honest truth, because they're the ones that entertain us. Mm-hmm. So I can still wish that, for one thing, I still think there's matches that Edge needs to have in WWE. That's my point.
We all want Patrick Mahomes to be our team's quarterback. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we want, for sure.
Yeah. I'll trade Kirk Cousins right now for him. Let's go.
I would trade Kirk Cousins for the dirtiest pair of sneakers in my house. But yeah, absolutely.
As long as they're not Panda, from what I understand.
Well, yeah, you can't get away with that. The Edge thing is similar to CM Punk in that, you get to a certain age and injuries linger longer than they normally do. It takes more time to recover. I think that if you look at what Edge was doing with the Judgment Day, his creative mind was working again. You know what I mean? And so when I think you still have that creativity left in you, I do think that, you want to go longer. So yeah, I mean, I do see him, if AEW is a possibility, I see him going there, because I think there's stuff that he still wants to do. I just don't think that, I don't know if WWE is in a position to dedicate the time to somebody as high profile as Edge, because they're not going to put him lower on the card. Because for what? You know what I mean? I hope I'm getting through, this is a respect for what they do. You know what I mean? They're like, we don't know if we have the time, but we know what you're worth. So AEW would definitely be in that position. Yeah. AEW's ran kind of on a different schedule. And seriously, there's nobody who treats legends better as on-air and in-ring talent than AEW. Yeah. They are experts at it. I think that's the strongest thing that they've done with Sting and with Steamboat and Arn Anderson, and put whatever name you want out there. I think they've done a great job at that.
I think it says a lot. Sorry, not to cut you off again, but I think it says a lot that Vince has let guys go early, and let him go do things, mm-hmm. let him do that. Dustin Rhodes said in an interview that Triple H was the one that got him out of his contract a little bit early so he could go wrestle right. Cody. I mean, there's some things that they've done. They know. It's really hard to explain, but I get it. I think they see that. I do think Vince McMahon's a competitor, so he wants to go, he wants to put on the best show he can and go after AEW. That's why I'm convinced that it won't be long before they do a show like at 100,000K stadium just to lower the tickets and just get that record, because I know they don't like that.
Yeah, selling every seat's $5.
Yeah,
just to do it.
We don't care about the money; just get them in there.
Yeah, man. No, it's listen. As much as we're like praising both companies for their treatment of their employees and doing right by them, yeah,
they're doing a lot of things too.
You guys probably you might know this, but like we all get everybody kind of in media, we all are on like an email list. So whenever WWE has like breaking news or like some type of report, they send it to all of us. Because if you look on Twitter, we all kind of post them at the same time once we see them, right?
Yep.
I did not post the WrestleMania Philly ticket sales because it's like, yo, y'all literally did this right before All In to say that you had the record. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it too. I was just laughing. I was like,
I'm not tweeting this out. Like, no, come on. This is low.
And I was talking to a friend that is a business strategist, and I said, like, this is like, wouldn't you do this? Like, if you were a company, he goes, absolutely. He goes, this is like any business would do this. It's not about you do what is best for your business. It's like, even if it makes other people think you look petty, who cares? You are trying to make the most money you can. You want to make yourself look better. You do that. And that came to my mind. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The way he said that. We got another super chat here from Will Chisholm. He says, when it comes down to it, it's just sad. And at the end, we the fans lose. Yeah, I agree with that completely. Van Twinblade sends us another super chat. Punk is good. Phil Brooks is a cancer. Our friend D-Lo Diggs, my guy. Love y'all. Y'all think the all-out hype is gone. I think it actually came back a little bit now.
I think people want to see... I agree. They want to see how these matches play out now because they feel like it's going to play into how the direction things are going to go. With that said, like, it does feel like a lot of this card is inconsequential. It really does feel like that.
Yeah.
Like, I should be way more excited about Kenny Omega and Takeshita.
Yeah, I know. This is a match I've been waiting for, too. So it's just like, ugh. You know, like, I've just been waiting for this match for so long, and now it's just...
It's here. It does not feel like a big deal, and that sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah. So, that's too bad. And I'm glad they got Zero Hour. They have a Battle Royal going tonight, so that's good. So, we have that going on. They added another women's match, a trios match, and another trios match, the Acclaimed versus Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal, with Dennis Rodman in the corner of Daddy Ass and the Acclaimed. So that'll be good. So I'm looking forward to that. But I mean, that's something, you know, like this whole CM Punk, and they're not going to mention it obviously tonight. I doubt. I mean, it would shock me if they talked about it. Why we've been talking about CM Punk, let's just kind of go off for a few minutes. Let's just talk about something else quick. I know you were just talking about Omega Takeshita. What are some of the other matches you're looking forward to tonight?
We got Hobbs and Miro, right?
Yeah, that's.
I think that one's going to be like really good. That one's going to be super physical. Of course, curious to see what happens with the ROH titles, the ROH tag titles, right? Even though it's Dark Order, like. You know, you feel like Roddy and the Kingdom are really going to play into that. Mm-hmm. And of course, like Starks and Danielson, I think is going to reflect really heavily on the direction of Collision going forward. And so, like, there's some really good stuff, some stuff that's really important. It's just like, damn, why did this happen right before?
And how about that? Roddy, he's traveling with the neck brace. So, he was on a plane wearing the neck brace and everything. So good for him. I love it. I respect it. That cracked me up when I saw people posting pictures of him on an airplane with that neck brace on. That's dedication to the bit. But I agree. I think the Kingdom has something to do with it tonight. And it'll I'm very excited to see where this goes, because in a way I don't want them to split up Cole and MJF yet. I just don't, because it's been entertaining as hell. But in a way, I'm just kind of like expecting that, you know, what's going to happen, you know? So it's just, part of me is just like, get it over with, because I know what's going to happen. Yeah, as far as Miro and Powerhouse Hobbs, definitely looking forward to that. And then the strap match, because Bryan Danielson's back, so that makes me happy too.
Yeah. I guess it should be solid. It's going to be good. You know, we're going to have some people over. We're going to kick it. It should be fun. But it's just yeah.
So last night at WWE, Payback, before the show started, there was a tweet that Miss Rhea Ripley put out, and she just wanted to say congratulations to everybody that gets to sit on her face. I don't know if you saw that tweet yesterday.
She's playing into it, man. She's playing into it. Like, you know, she's listen, that act continues to be, you know, a top priority for WWE. They all get a great reaction. Beat Sammy and KO for the tag titles. Like, they got all the gold that they can have, like, for the moment. Yeah, man. Like, that's great that there are two real stars, like new stars in that group. I also think Priest is doing really well. Finn Balor, living legend. They're in a great position, and, you know, whoever takes them down is going to be better for it. Like, yeah, it's really working. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like you said before the show started, because of you going to the football game yesterday, the Texas Longhorns, I think that's where you were at, right? Were you at the Longhorns game? So Longhorns game, you were there, and then when you got home, you watched Collision because of everything going on last night. And you didn't really get to pay attention to Payback. One thing that was really cool that a lot of people I don't think noticed was Rhea pretty much paid tribute to China with her gear last night. She looked really good with that. I don't know if you noticed that gear at all, but I'll definitely recommend people check that out. I'll try to get a photo before the show ends, but that was really cool. Overall, the show was, I thought, pretty good. WWE's been, in my opinion, hitting home runs with their premium live events. The Becky Trish Stratus match, fantastic. And you'll probably be shocked by this, but Shinsuke and Seth Rollins tore it down. They were tag match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with a Judgment Day. It was fantastic. And the other matches they weren't awful. They just were what they were. And the one thing I'll say is John Cena being a special guest referee, I'm starting to notice how it's pretty hard to be a referee in wrestling, because even the wrestlers have a hard time counting with and just getting the rules down.
Yeah,
and
with the cadence, stuff. I did see like him count the two count on the Skull Crushing finale, and it's I'm like that. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was just like, wow, this is something. But going over All In, we'll just go over the card real quick. You got the TNT Championship, Luchasaurus defending Christian Cage's title, even though it's Luchasaurus, against Darby Allin. We already talked about Powerhouse Hobbs and Miro. You have the AEW TBS Championship, Chris Statlander defending her title against Ruby Soho. The AEW International Championship, which will be the main event, Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley. You have Omega versus Takeshita. You have the Young Bucks and the FTR versus Bullet Club Gold. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships, Better Than You Bebe versus Dark Order. Samoa Joe versus Shane Taylor. You know, in my life, I never thought I'd see people bitch about Samoa Joe versus Shane Taylor in my life, but I understand where people are coming from. They just didn't like the build. I'm like, well, they didn't really have a choice. I get it. But whatever. Kingston and Shibata versus Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. Then you have the strap match between Bryan Danielson and Ricky Starks. You have the Trios Championship with the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass Billy Gunn versus Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh. And again, Dennis Rodman will be in the corner of the Acclaimed. And then you have Athena, Mercedes Martinez, Diamante versus Kurushita, Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue, and then the over the budget charity battle royal. So
yeah, it should be good. It should be good.
Looks it's gotten a lot better. So that's what matters. Guys, get in those super chats. It goes a long ways for us. Very helpful. We can't appreciate it more. So the next pay-per-view is going to be for WWE is going to be in Indianapolis. It's, I think, Battleground, right? That's the one. And John Cena sounds like he'll be there. It sounds like he'll be around for the next 7 weeks now, which is interesting because of the whole actor strike. And it could be longer depending on how long this goes. Who knows? But that's what he's advertised. He's advertised through, I think, a SmackDown in Milwaukee, which is about a pretty close to 2 months from now. They kind of hint, just based off what I saw, and maybe I just misinterpreted. I'm kind of wondering if they're going with the LA Knight versus John Cena route, or if they're going to do a tag team thing. I think that would not be good to do Cena versus LA Knight. Yeah. I mean, on the mic, it'd be fine. It'd be fantastic for us, but
Cena has this habit of really telling you how he feels. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you saw what it did to Austin Theory. It absolutely derailed him. I'm not saying he was going to be the face of WWE, but it in no way helped him interacting with John Cena. He beat John Cena at WrestleMania and there was indifference, you know? I would be very careful, like, who works with John Cena and in what capacity. But then being a tag team, I think, would be really, really cool. I think that would work.
Yeah, I think the way to go is to do a tag team for Cena. I know some people don't like that idea, but I think that's the way to do it. I really do. As far as in-ring action, I mean, if he's just doing promos, because the last thing I want is him in Theory going back at it. That would just be a disaster. And I don't think they're going to go that route. I think they proved that last night. But let's go to our first non-wrestling topic. I said we were going to talk a little football. So we'll start with the NCAA. Yesterday, Deion Sanders pretty much shocked the college football world by getting the victory. It doesn't matter. Nobody would have listened to me anyways, but somebody I talked to, before the game, I said, I think Colorado is not going to be as bad as people say. I don't think they're going to be like outstanding, but Deion Sanders, I'm very curious to see what he does. What did you think about that? And I see somebody say, oh no, American football. Sorry, ma'am.
Yeah, man. So, it's working. His kid's really buying into that program. He has an NFL talent at quarterback, his son. He has an NFL talent in Travis Hunter, who can just do everything. Travis Hunter had 119 yards receiving and like had 3 pass breakups and an interception. Like there's real talent on that team. TCU is also, you know, without their driving force quarterback from last year. And you know, it's like losing a national championship game, right? Very rarely does the team that lost the national title game come back the same, let alone like better, you know? So there's some things working against them. I think it's also like they had to go into that with no real tape on what was going to happen too. You know, TCU didn't have like this long history of, this is the defense they run. This is their scheme. These are the things they rely on. So there wasn't a lot of that. So there was some surprise. And I think that Deion Sanders is also a very good coach. Like being from Texas, I remember when he was like coaching prime prep. He had his own prep school in Dallas. You know what I mean? So the system's been in place for a while as far as what he wants to build. And look, kids will go play for Deion Sanders because their parents love Deion Sanders. You know what I mean? So, that's going to go up. That's going to continue to go up.
I have a story like about Deion Sanders. I went to his football camp when I lived in Tallahassee, and He said to me, "You are the slowest kid I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah. And
you would think I'd hate that, but the thing is I know I wasn't trying, so that's okay with me. But yeah, I'll always remember that. So yeah, I take pride in that. Deion Sanders, the fastest guy at one time in the NFL. It was always between him and Daryl Green when, like, back in the day, and Daryl Green always beat him, so it doesn't matter. Daryl Green, God, he was good. And I know you're
one of my favorite players ever, for sure.
Washington football fan, Commanders, but oh damn, that guy was good. But yeah, just to say, like, Deion Sanders called me the slowest guy he's ever seen. I don't know why I take pride in that, but I do. It is what it is. Who do you have won in the NCAA football championship this year?
I really want to say USC, but USC has no defense whatsoever. So that makes it difficult, right? If I had to pick my final four teams, I would say USC, gotta say Texas. I'm gonna say Ohio State and Bama. And the only reason I'm not saying Georgia is because a three-peat is insane. Yeah. It has nothing to do with how good they are, but these are still kids playing football. A three-peat is insane. I don't know if enough things can go your way for a three-peat to happen, right?
Yeah.
But hell, they could, you know. But I got – I would say I give Ohio State the best chance. I got Michigan in there too. But I give Ohio State the best chance. Then I'll say USC. Then I'll say Bama. Then I'll say Texas. Because I think whoever wins that if Texas beats Bama, I think they run the table. If Texas loses to Bama, I think they can still go 13-1, 14-1. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I really want to say USC, but there's just no defense there. So, you know.
My Florida State Seminoles play LSU tonight. That's going to be a good game. And that's a team that Deion almost got to coach. It came down to it. It was, they almost went with Deion, but, that would have been interesting. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the NCAA championship, I just really can't pick who's going to win this or who's going to win. Cause I always think it's going to be an SEC team. It's just, I mean, the odds are in my favor.
A bad bet, right?
Yeah. Anyways, but let's go to the NFL quick. NFL season starts this week on Thursday. Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Detroit Lions. Let's go ahead and start with the AFC West. Who you got winning in the division there?
Oh, the Chiefs, man.
Yeah,
Chiefs.
That's a cupcake, just like Georgia's schedule.
Yeah, it's because I like the Chargers, but we do this thing with Justin Herbert where it's like all he needs is and he'll be the guy. All he needs is he's very good. But yeah, man, I definitely got Kansas City winning. Look, they've proven they can win with guys at the skill position. Like, of course, Travis Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame, right? But everywhere else in the backfield with receivers, they can just put guys there and win a bunch of games. And so, yeah, it'd be hard to go against them winning.
Yeah. So, in AFC North.
I'm going to say Baltimore, man. I'm going to say Baltimore. As good as Cincinnati is, I think a healthy Lamar Jackson is just so much for people to handle. Zay Flowers looks really, really good. OBJ is your number two. You still have Andrews out there. We know you have a million guys in the backfield. If Lamar Jackson is healthy, I got them winning the division.
Well, Sean just canceled our show, so it was a good run.
My bad.
I'm going with the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to do it. Plus, it's part written in my contract with Feifel. I have to. and the AFC East, Buffalo for me. I think that's. I don't see Aaron Rodgers doing much with, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, but I don't see them winning the East. I just don't.
Buffalo.
Yeah. AFC South.
They play football there.
Yeah, well,
I tell you what, I think the Colts are going to be fun, but it's hard to say it's not going to be Tennessee. They're just kind of the establishment down there, you know?
Yeah. Part of me wants to see Tennessee, but I think it's Jacksonville this year.
You think so? You think they're going to turn that corner?
Yeah.
I mean, they came up last year. They came up last year. Lawrence seems to have figured it out. Like the guys they got on defense. And they just got who's the new receiver they have down there?
Oh God. I'm horrible with names, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be good. As a matter of
somebody in chat knows.
I think Jacksonville. Yeah.
NFC South.
They play football down there?
Like they do, supposedly.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, like
Calvin Ridley.
I'm pulling for I was thinking of Ridley.
Okay,
thank you. I'm pulling I think if Baker Mayfield doesn't mess it up, I think Tampa Bay's gonna win the division.
Well, there you go.
Again, I understand what I'm saying. I know how much I'm putting on it, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Yeah, that probably seems like a safe bet, but. I think New Orleans has it. I do. I think they'll do it. I pretty much probably know your NFC East, but I'll ask you anyways.
Oh, it's Philly. It's got to be Philly. Okay. They're just the ability to control every short yardage play with that many options. I think makes you so hard to beat. Hurts stepped it up to a crazy level last year. Had a really good shot at winning MVP before injuries, played a hell of a Super Bowl. I just think they're stacked, man. And again, their ability to control the line of scrimmage, especially in short yardage situations, I do not see anybody really hanging with them.
Their short yardage plays just really like ridiculously good. And Jalen Hurts, this hurts me to say this, no pun intended, but I think the Eagles win the division. I do, and I hate saying that. NFC North. I got my Vikings. I know a lot of people are picking the Lions. I just got my Vikings.
Everybody thinks that Detroit's going to turn that corner. Justin Jefferson, man. Justin Jefferson. You know, I just do not know how you stop that guy. Kirk Cousins is good for winning the division, not doing anything else. But, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that Minnesota wins it for sure.
Don't get me wrong. I could see Detroit being a wild card team. I can definitely see that, but I just don't see them winning the division. There's always that one team everybody picks and Detroit seems like that one team that people pick to do really well. And I think they will, but I just don't see them winning the division, but that's part of my homerism there. NFC West, I think it's the 49ers.
Yeah. They just have such a system in place. If Brock Purdy is as good as he was last year, and you expect him to be better, yeah, man, they got it. That defense is so stout. They got somebody great at every skill position. Like, 49ers.
Okay, going to – just basically go into the NFL, like Super Bowl. Who you got going to the Super Bowl this year?
I think we get Kansas City, and it's like, I know it's easy to say, I think it's going to be a rematch, and it's so tough to do. So it's like the same reason I'm not picking Georgia. I'll tell you what, even though I think Baltimore is going to win the division, I think we get a Super Bowl with Cincinnati and Philly.
Okay.
I think we get Cincinnati and Philly. I think Philly should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Like, because Kansas City, the football is just so easy all of the time for them. You can't win it every year. You just can't, you know? Yeah. As competitive as it is, as crazy as schemes are, injuries happen. I'm going to say Cincinnati and Philly, and I think Philly wins it.
I have being San Francisco and Cincinnati, a rematch of Super Bowl or season 1981 and 82 is when they won it, or it's either 81 or 82, whatever season that was. but in 89 too, I think. Either way, I can't remember. But yeah, that's who I have, and I think the this sucks, but I think the 49ers get it.
Think so.
Yeah, off the record. Nobody tell Sean. But guys, right now over on Premier Streaming Network for StarCast, Grapsody is going live. They're doing their show. Make sure you check them out. Seahawk, tell everybody where they can find you, man.
Yeah, man. Instagram, Twitter, definitely a Seahawk, C-E-E-H-A-W-K. Most recently, did a piece on The Ringer about MJF. We talked for a little under an hour about, you know, his ultimate goals of being the greatest AEW champion of all time. Really fun conversation. You can check that out on theringer.com. Yeah, that's about it right now.
All right. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm also on Fightful pretty much every day doing something, .com. Otherwise, every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, I do a show called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooked. We have a good time doing that. So check that out. Just wrestling, no football. I promise you, we don't talk football because Maggie will quit if I do. So just like how we lost a lot of viewers because we talk football today. So, but that's how it is. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. If you watch All Out tonight, I hope you enjoy it. A lot of CM Punk talk today. I know some of you did not like that, but I mean, we got to talk about what there is to talk about, and not much talk about Payback, unfortunately. And I'm sorry about that, but we'll get you back next week. We got a lot to talk about. So we want to say thank you so much. We hope you have a great rest of your day. And if you, like I said, if you watch All Out, enjoy it tonight. You have Sean Ross Sapp and Cresta doing the post show for All Out. And then tomorrow night, I believe, Denise is going to be back for the Raw post show with Sean. So everything should be back to normal this coming week. Grapsody will have a Q&A, I believe. So all kinds of good stuff. So thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day and have a good week. We'll see you next week. Peace. Maybe the in broadcast button is not working. Let's see if this works. Okay. This is going to be interesting.
Just start your computer. There we go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.